The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show.
Welcome, Cleaning Nation, to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast. This is the team. I'm here with everyone, the whole, minus Mike, I guess. We're all here at an event in, where are we? San Antonio.
Texas. Remember the Alamo.
Yeah, we just did a tour yesterday. Remember the Alamo? So we are remembering it. Today we're just going to be talking, since we're all kind of here together. We're all in the same company, and we are confident that we preach what we teach, or we do what we teach, I guess would be the right way to say that. Yeah.
We practice what we preach.
That's the one. So we kind of got together and we decided we're going to talk a little bit about the culture that's taking place here. We're going to share some best practices when it comes to culture. But before we do that, let's just do our introductions really quick so that you know who you're talking to. And so I'm going to pass the mic to my far left, to the guy in blue who looks like he just killed someone.
I'm Jackson. I did not just kill someone. And I do ads for the people here. So the people that actually come to the events. It's pretty fun. And then this is going to the lady in red.
Nice.
Hello, Tracy Thompson here. I've done enough podcasts that most of you have probably seen or heard from me at least once. I'm the mindset coach for our Millionaire Mastermind people and our Next Level group. And Jared, did you introduce yourself?
I didn't, but yeah, I can. Okay. I can quickly. I'm Jared. So just as Jackson says, he kind of works internally with our clients and helps them with their ads. I'm the guy that helps Mike with his ads. And so I'm kind of Mike's client attraction marketing guru. All right. And I'm going to go over to, green skirt. I wish I had some sort of insult, but I don't. So
that's sweet. Like nothing about the blue hair.
I should have done the blue hair.
I'm Lindsay. I'm the client happiness manager / podcast producer at Grow My Cleaning Company. And I'm happy that Jared is hosting this one for a change.
Yeah. I'm stoked. Okay. So we decided that we were going to talk about the culture of the company and then kind of like how we can take what we're doing and what seems to be working and then we can apply that into cleaning companies. So I'm going to start this off. Maybe I should just assign people. Oh, that's good. I like this. I'm just going to throw stuff on you. Good luck. So my first question would be, I'm going to do Jackson. So Jackson, you have worked in other companies. You've done some side stuff on your own. You've been your own boss. You've worked with Mike. We've actually come from the same ad agency. And so we know what that is. So I want you to, if you were to describe to me what makes Grow My Cleaning Company, or what practices Grow My Cleaning Company is doing that's different than other companies that has, currently you're here working for us. So I hope this is a choice that you've made and that you're not being forced, but what's making you continue to work here?
Well, I guess probably the best thing to say is Jared mentioned that I've been my own boss. And while technically I am my own boss, I really do feel like I don't have a manager here. So it's nice. So I do my own thing. I know what I have to get done, and I get it done in my own way of doing it. There's nobody watching over my shoulder, but it's like, say we want, 10 emails to go out by Friday. I get to do it my own way and get it done by Tuesday if I wanted to, as opposed to waiting till Friday to do it or something like that. So I'm always doing my own thing in the realm of getting the goals done for Mike and for the rest of the team, which is awesome because it's not being micromanaged. I don't have to fit a square peg in a round hole. I just get to have fun and do my job, accomplish the goals, usually a lot faster. And the best part about it is I don't get more work if I do my stuff faster. I get less work because it's done already, right? So I can go do other stuff that is more interest to me or something that I like to do, stuff like that. Does that answer your question, Jared?
Oh, beautifully. Do you have something?
Yeah, I actually have something to add. Just to piggyback on what Jackson said, I think what's wonderful about this culture that we, of course, Mike is the leader, but we've built together as a team is having autonomy. I think that's what you were saying. So being able to sort of be like your own boss, own your job, but not feel like, and we work together really well, but we don't feel like, hopefully nobody here feels like, oh, Tracy's always telling me what to do, or that Lindsay's always, you know, a taskmaster or whatever. It's wonderful when every one of us understands what we're supposed to do and we get it done in the way that makes the most sense to us. But the culture here is cooperation, if that makes sense. So we're not bossing each other, but we're working in synergy, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you'll notice in the introductions, as we went down, no one was crossing over with what they do. We all have our own roles. And so that it eliminates this feeling of like, almost like competition or like, you know, or confusion. So there wasn't like, oh, hi, I'm an operations manager. And it's like, well, no one really knows what you do as an operations manager, but it's like, I'm in charge of client happiness. I'm in charge of getting clients for Mike. I'm in charge of keeping or running ads for this. I work with internally, like we all have our own distinct role. And that allows us to then put kind of to piggyback what Jackson's saying, like maximize that role and be able to optimize and create our own systems and processes within that role so that we can become really good at that without confusion. And I think that's part of what's helped. Yeah, Mike, kind of grow.
And I want to say, we were just talking about this today at the event. I think it was today, maybe it was yesterday, about role assignment and how often in the cleaning industry, cleaning company owners want to hire a manager. Mm-hmm. And you may be out there at Clean Nation thinking to yourself, well, maybe that's what I need. I need a operations manager. I need a field manager. I hear that one a lot.
Supervisor,
mm-hmm. or somebody that can just take care of kind of everything. And maybe they can do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And the coaching Mike always gives, and we just exhibited, is that that unicorn, one person does everything kind of fantasy, I think a lot of business owners have, doesn't actually work. And if it does work, God forbid that person leave, mm-hmm. because now you can't replace that one person because they're doing five people's jobs. So just to clarify a little bit more about how this might relate to you is, if you're thinking, I want a manager, I would encourage you, we would all encourage you, because we experience it ourselves, be specific about the activities or the things or the outcomes that you want, and then hire for that rather than say, I want to hire a position, and then just load that person up with everything and anything, like the kitchen sink, you know, just throw everything at them. Yeah. Any thoughts on that, Lindsay, since that's your expertise?
Yeah, I can totally speak to this because it actually happened to me, because I was, we practice what we preach, because I was the operations manager mm-hmm. here before I was the client happiness manager. And I didn't even tell Mike until I like lost my mind, but I was working like 40 to 50 hours every week. And it was because I was doing the work of like at least three people. Mm-hmm. And then I had a, as Tracy would call it, a come to Jesus moment with Mike. And I basically was like, what are you doing? Like, you know, you can hire a virtual assistant to help you. And that was kind of a game changer to me. So I thin sliced out my job. So now I have a VA that helps me with the podcast. I have a VA, Apple, who is amazing with our clients and handles them. And then I have an even more specific VA that just handles Indeed for our clients. And she's awesome at that. So it's always a process, I think, with our company. Like, we just kind of grew into our roles and refined it over time. Like, I used to do some marketing stuff and that just didn't work. Right. That was not my lane. That was not my thing. So,
yeah. Yeah. I had a follow-up question when you brought that up. So you talked about you were working like a dog and you had all these hours and all this kind of stuff on your plate. And at one point you had your come to Jesus moment and you had to approach Mike in this scenario. So the question I want to ask you is, what were the signs that a boss, a CEO or an owner, what should they look for in their employees so that they can get ahead of that, you know, that kind of burnout or that, you know, what were your signs or what did you feel like they should be watching for to avoid what you kind of fell into?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I think Mike mentioned this yesterday with the Millionaire Masterminds, is that There's a time zone difference between Mike and I. So I'm 3 hours usually ahead of him. And he realized that I was answering emails at like 8 o'clock at night, my time. And he was like, wait a minute, like, that's weird. Like, why does Lindsay feel like she needs to reply to emails right away? So that was a red flag for him. And I can't totally speak for Mike, but I know on my end, I got stressed out because I felt like I started dropping balls. Like I was juggling too many things and I was just forgetting like super easy tasks.
Yeah.
So hopefully that answers.
Yeah, no. And I think what happens is there's that worry of like, oh, my employee's not good, or my employee's not caring, or she's making all these mistakes that Mike could have gone down and then fired. And guess what would have happened? He would have hired someone else and fired him and hired him and fired him. And so what instead took place is that Mike looked at the process itself and said, oh, I think what's happening is Lindsay's unclear what her tasks are, and I'm unclear what her tasks are. And so I'm just kind of dumping stuff on without really knowing her time management. And so when Lindsay was clear with what she was doing and Mike was clear with what he needed, that's when Lindsay could then maximize that role. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of the overall theme that we want to be able to pull from all of this so far, is that you need to be really clear with your roles and what you're trying to get your employees to do, and then go from there. Jackson, I'm going to ask you a question. And actually this will go to Jackson and then Tracy. You both work internally with our clients, and so does Lindsay, but I'm going to give Lindsay a break because I just roasted her. You see all different types of owners of cleaning companies come in. And so what's great about the position that you're in is a lot of us, we have different levels within our program. And so these guys kind of come in right after the initial 9 weeks, next level. These people kind of have some systems and processes in place. They've learned a lot at this and they're continuing to get education. So my question to both of you would be, when you meet with these owners of cleaning companies, there's going to be some that seem to be more advanced in their company culture and their systems, or maybe even more relaxed or chill. And there's going to be others that are a little bit more frantic and a little bit more worried. And so what advice would you give to a cleaner that you see when you're looking at the more chill or the ones that seem a little bit, that have more control? What advice would you give? They're like, oh, I see that they all kind of have this quality about them, or I see that they're doing this thing that seems to be really helping their company culture. Mm-hmm. So I'll start with Jackson. If you could just kind of tell me the difference between one that's on the track and one that's off the track when it comes to just kind of the cultural side. Do you want me to start with Tracy? He looks like he's thinking.
No, I can.
Okay, he's got it.
That's my thinking face, all scrunched up. So probably the biggest difference, I guess, from like a, well, it's interesting because I don't have any insight into their company culture at all. Mm-hmm. I have insight into the owner's culture.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because I talked to the owner.
Let's talk to them.
Yeah. So the people who are cool, calm, and collected, as I say, one, they come off as cool, calm, and collected. Mm-hmm. They could be bankrupt and I wouldn't know. Mm-hmm. So they don't come to me with all their life issues. They come to me with a very specific issue that I can give a specific answer to or a potential solution to. If you come to me with my house is on fire, I'm having a baby, my internet's broken, my car broke down, I have no leads, my ads aren't doing anything.
Talk to Tracy.
I have nowhere to start on that because it's way too much. So the people who at least are coming across as they have it together, they have a specific issue and they might have more than one issue, but they piecemeal them out. They know what's most important. They know what's least important in terms of timeline of what I need to get it fixed. And they know who to go to for those questions. And, you know, I can start working on these types of ads. I can start hiring people. This is what I need to do first. And the other things can come after. I can work in it in conjunction and it won't overwhelm me. But they all are, you know, very focused in on what they want to do without becoming, you know, a frantic mess. Cause as soon as you start coming off that way, everybody's going to reciprocate that back onto you. So your employees, your customers, and everything like that. So if you're coming across as it's frantic and last ditch, all that kind of stuff, it's reciprocated back. But if you come across as, you know, well, great, I need some help with this. Oh, great, I can help you with that. It's a lot more than all this stuff's world's exploding, end of times kind of thing. Cause then nobody can help you with that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Perfect. What I find it as a mindset coach, when I first meet with someone, when they come through the first phase of our program, which is 9 weeks, and we have another mindset coach who's not here with us today, Suzanne. I know Suzanne works with our clients in that initial phase. But when they come to me, the first conversation we have, I notice the ones that are the most calm. I'm going to piggyback on what you just said. It's very similar, is that they're organized in their thinking. So they're not, what they're not doing is they're not saying, oh my gosh, there's this and there's that, and I can't hire and I do, you know, like a machine gun. And that's usually chaotic thinking. They're not organized in their own headspace. Right. And so then they're emotionally reacting to that. And then it just trickles downhill. So culture is built from the leadership down. And if you're frenetic, if you're chaotic in your thinking and you can't articulate one thing at a time, how are you ever going to delegate? How are you ever going to say, let's say you have Jared on your team, how are you ever going to say to Jared, I need this many leads, this many sales at this rate each month, if you're just, I can't hire and I've got this problem and these clients didn't show up and I just need more leads or I just need more business. Like Jared's going to go, okay, I can't solve all of that. It's just what Jackson said. So my recommendation is, as a leader, if you have a hard time focusing on and distilling down your own thinking, get help in sorting that out before you go to your team, before you try to tell others what you need from them. Get your own head straight. A lot of our clients, that's what they use us for, especially me. So help me get that straight. Help me put things in boxes so that I'm not all over. So that's my two cents on what makes a person, I feel, at least come across calm and more collected.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Drop the mic here. Like what Tracy said is like a lot of this might just sound like mindset stuff. And so I know some people go, oh, mindset mumbo jumbo, right? But in practice, if you took what Tracy said in a calm, collected environment and said, I need 10 leads or I need 10 leads, 5 phone calls and 3 sales. If you took that to Jared or I or any other marketer in the world or just anybody who knows their salt on how to do this, we could hash out a plan on how to get that in about like 10, 15 minutes.
Exactly.
But if you come to me saying all these different things, I could sit with you for 3 days and we still wouldn't have a final plan. So there we go.
Very good.
Yeah.
Don't drop it.
I won't drop it. unless I say something great, then it's worthy of dropping the mic. So yeah, the overall theme that I'm hearing from both Tracy and Jackson is like, when you are organized and have your thoughts and then come with those thoughts on how to solve this particular problem, you're moving closer to your goal. But if you're just like, my car's broken or my life is upside down or whatever it is, that's not a solution to a problem. It's just a complaint. So now let's take this and let's look at this from the other way, because we're talking from our clients coming to us and the success that we see based on their mindset coming to us. So now you probably have employees or are working towards getting employees in your business, and they're coming to you like baby birds. Chirp, 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 chirp. All my problems. So let's flip this and really focus in on, as a leader or as the boss of your company, how are you going to, and I think we kind of have a cheat code in this, because literally we talked about this yesterday with a lot of the Millionaire Mastermind of them. From what I was able to see was like a lot of the women in the company were talking about how much they're wearing the stress of their employees.
Yeah.
Because naturally, I just think they, you know, care.
Yeah.
Empathetic. Yeah, I know. Yeah. But this, and I think employees see, especially when there's a couple that's owning, they see the woman as like their nurturer. Mm-hmm. I'm come to me, I, you know, like, mom, I got a boo-boo. Mom, this happened. And naturally the instinct is to say, well, let me take care of you. And so I'll open it up. I don't want to put anyone on the spot, but if anyone wants to share kind of what Mike talked about or what some of the advice was when you have employees that are just chirping, and how you as the boss can help them kind of have more of the mindset that we talked about in the last section.
I definitely have thoughts on that.
Tracy's got thoughts.
And I was going to say, and then Lindsay, right?
Yeah.
Because we both kind of deal with this from different perspectives. Mm-hmm. So my coaching yesterday on this specifically was, when you're getting that from your people, guess where it started? Not with them. It always starts with you. So we train people how to treat us. Even if we're not doing it consciously, we train them how to treat us, and vice versa. So if they feel like they should or can come to you about everything, it's because you let them come to you for everything. And this is, again, this is a mirror situation. So your people are, like it or not, are a reflection of some part of you, some aspect of you. And if they're chirping, as you said, you know, oh my gosh, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And your phone is being blown up all day, every day. It's because you answer them, number one. Mm-hmm. You don't let them figure it out on their own. You take it on as your own. And that pattern starts with you. So how do you break that? It starts with you. It can stop with you. So my first recommendation is start to narrow that down. At least start putting some parameters first within yourself. You've got to tell yourself you're actually not doing them any favors by doing them favors, right? They're never going to, it's like children. If you kept tying their shoes every time they cried and said, I can't do it, they'd be 30 and not tying their shoes and buying only Velcro. It's like, right? They'd never be able to do it. So it has to start with you. So the self-discipline of saying, after this time, like, I'm going to stop answering calls at all. Like, just don't do it. That discipline starts with you. So just start with something simple. Cut one aspect of that constant chirping out. Maybe it's setting parameters in hours. Past this hour, I don't do it. Before this hour, I don't do it. Something that starts to flip the dynamic so that you're in charge. So that's my two cents on that particular topic.
Yeah, I was just going to add that it's really empowering to your employees to or the people under you, if you will, if you give them the opportunity to grow. And it might be painful for you because I'm kind of a micromanager and I like to do things my way, but it doesn't have to be my way. That's what I realized. It was really an ego problem with me. It's like, yeah, someone else can edit videos for Mike at least as well, if not probably way better. And guess what? Apple edits videos way better than I do. So, and once I got used to that idea, I had this fear that if I left my office at home for like even an hour, like something bad would happen, which, you know, we're not doing open heart surgery at Grow My Cleaning Company. Like if I can't answer an email within an hour, like no one's going to die, you know? So I would test myself. I live on the water. I would just leave my phone at home and go paddleboarding for an hour and not tell anyone. And I literally couldn't do anything about it because I was in the water, and I'd come back and I realized that, you know, hey, maybe a client missed a call or something, or they didn't have a link, but Apple's got it. Like she figured it out. She caught it. And everything is fine. So, and they will too. Yeah, they will. You just got to give them the opportunity. So I know I'm not hosting Jared, but we've actually gone over time.
Oh,
so all good. I'm going to let you formally close this out.
All right, I'll close this out. Yeah. I do want to say one thing though. Yeah. Just that, not, Lindsay's fired. Cause I had no idea she was paddleboarding during work. So she's gone. No, just kidding. No, I just, my closing sentence and kind of what we can close this on is, your being a good boss doesn't mean you solve all the problems. And I think that's really where it comes in. Like, well, I'm a good boss because I answer my phone. I give it all the emails. Anytime there's a fire, I put it out. And the answer and the truth of it is, like, if you're going to be a true business owner, your people need to learn how to put out fires. And that makes you a good boss. You may be feeling like, well, no one's calling me today, or no one's doing this, or I'm not involved. And like, ding, 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 ding. That's what being a good boss is, because they figured it out how to do it themselves. So okay, we will close that up. Thank you guys so much for the help on this panel. I hope you guys enjoy kind of having everyone on. We got Limp Bizkit over here in the corner.
I went from burger to Limp Bizkit.
Same thing. So we'll catch you guys on the next one. Again, thanks so much for listening. We'll catch you guys later.
Bye.
Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me, but like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing, share with a friend, share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now. 602-932-6431. Give me a text. Say hey. Can't wait to meet you.